Scripture for this evening's lesson comes from James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. That's James chapter 1, verse 21 through 25. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and every superfluity of wickedness, and receiving with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks in a perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does.
What do you think of when you think of yourself? Maybe the way you look. What do you think about when you think about how you appear to be? In fact, you may be thinking, "Well, I'm young and beautiful and attractive," or maybe you think, "I'm not as young as I used to be, but I still have some things going for me," or maybe you perceive yourself as being old. And when we look at this and we see how we perceive ourselves, what happens when we go look into a mirror? Do we see exactly what we were thinking about? Maybe we look in that mirror and maybe I think to myself, I may think, well, I have a full head of hair and I'm nice and skinny and strong. And then I look in the mirror and I say, whoa, I have two teenage daughters and I like to eat snacks, you know. So what we perceive ourselves to be and what we truly are is a reflection. As we look into the mirror, we see what we are truly. If we could look at ourselves in the mirror and see ourselves spiritually, what would a perception of the way we think that we are and the perception that we want to be, or would that be the same thing? Would we see ourselves the same as way we perceive ourselves? As we look at this, are we doers of the word and not just hearers? Or do we look at our observing our natural face in the mirror and we look at that and then we go away and then we forget what we look like? Or do we forget that we were supposed to be doers of the word? You see, when we look in the mirror and we're thinking of ourselves spiritually, when we look in that mirror spiritually, we should reflect Jesus Christ. We should see Jesus in us. And in doing so, I know that that is a high standard, but that is the standard that's set before us, that we should be Christ-like. And we look at this and we understand, can we look at ourselves and see Christ in us? You see, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, Christ is the exact representation of God. And in fact, Thomas in the gospel said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Because Jesus was the exact representation of God. In this exact representation, in the Greek, it's used to describe a stamp or an impression made upon coins or a seal. And just as that impression is an exact representation of that coin, that's the way Christ was the exact representation of God, a person in the essence of God. And that is exactly how a Christian should be with Christ. If we want to look at ourselves spiritually in the mirror, we should see Christ. And we should be seeing Christ in us by our love. We should see Christ in us by our holiness. And we should see Christ in us by our discernment. So tonight, as we examine this and we look at seeing Christ in ourselves, let's first look at seeing Christ in us by our love. Jesus is the greatest example of love. He in John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And in John 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. And then in John chapter 15, verses 9 and 11, just as my Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. As we look at seeing Christ in our life, and we see that we have to look at Jesus and see the love that he had for others, the love that he had for the Father, and how the love that he had for each and every one of us. We see that we need to do the same thing. We need to love, like he loved. And if we want to have Christ seen in our lives, we must follow Christ in his great examples he set before us. Jesus is the essence of love in his life. He gave us that great example of love. And Jesus' commandments, they all involve love. Jesus said the greatest commandment, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And he said, this is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends the whole law and the prophets. And as we examine this love, we see that the commandments involve love. In fact, they were trying to get Jesus to contradict the old law where God has to be, we should love God in such a way. And they ask him, Jesus, what is the greatest command? And he tells them, you need to love God. We need to love God with everything we have. And then second, we need to love our neighbor. And we must, as Christians, have love in our lives. We can't love God and hate our brothers. We must, as Christians, have love. In 1 John 4, in verse 20 and 21, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brothers also. Being Christ-like involves us reflecting his love. And when we think of this, and we're going to look at how we should demonstrate this love. How can we demonstrate this love that Christ had towards God? First and foremost, we need to keep his commandments. The commandments that have been given to us. The word of God. We need to follow it. We need to conduct ourselves daily in reflect Christ in our life. We need to follow after Jesus in our conduct. Jesus said that he always does the things that are pleasing to God in John 8 and verse 29. And you look at that, and that is how we need to love God, is by keeping the commandments, trying our best to uphold the standard of Jesus. Paul told the church in Corinth that this should be their ambition, to be pleasing to God. And likewise, that should be our goal, is to love God as much that we will show him in the way we live our lives. And we will then be pleasing to God if we are following after his word. Now, how can we demonstrate that, this love that Christ had towards our neighbors? In three areas I want to look at. I want to look at this for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for those that are not in Christ, and those that are erring Christians. We need to show love for everybody. It should be our goal and our ambition that we love everybody, that we care and we are concerned about their soul. And our love should be what helps us in all areas of our relationships. And as we think about this, we as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, we should love everybody and be concerned for them and be concerned for their soul. When we look how we can love our brothers and sisters in Christ, 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, it says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Love one another with a pure heart. That means we don't just love each other for selfish gain. We don't, but we care and we're concerned and we want the best for each other. And ultimately, we want that goal that we strive and we work towards each and every day is that home in heaven, that crown, the crown of life that we are going to be given if we are faithful to God. And if we are striving to do this together, that is our help. That is what helps us in. And that love will help us in fulfilling that. And in order to do that, we must do some things. We must teach and remind Christians to be faithful to God. We must build each other up. We must encourage each other. We must not sow discord among the brethren. We must serve one another as opportunity arises. And we need to help in any way we can to help people to continue to be faithful to God. That's how we can demonstrate our love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. To show that we are all in this together. We're trying to live faithful together. How can we show love for the non-Christian? If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to read 14 through 21. It says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer for themselves, but he for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard one another according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. Now all things are God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." When we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and we read this section and we look at this, how can we have love for the non-Christian? Well, we see that the love of Christ compels us. The love of Christ, and we look at this, what does that mean? Well, it means that the love of Christ controls us. And this means that the what this word compels or controls, it's exactly this, that Christ exercises a constraining influence on us. And this constraining influence is on us that we love Christ, so therefore we love others. And we love, and we have to then have this fire burning inside of us to talk to people about Jesus Christ and talk to them about reconciling them to God. And we see that because Jesus Christ died for our sins and has allowed us to be reconciled back to God, if we are in Christ, he's given us a ministry of reconciliation. And this is the Great Commission. And we look at this and we see that we have this. We followed it. We are now in Christ after we've been obedient. We've believed. We've repented of our sins. We were baptized for the remission of sins. And now we're trying to live faithful. We have this ministry of reconciliation. And that is the Great Commission, to take it to others. And knowing what we know about Scripture, knowing what Christ has done for us, that compels us, that we have that then constraining influence on us. And we look at verse 20. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." And Paul was writing this to Christians. He said, it was as if God were pleading through us. We implore on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And if you think about this, and just, you know, sometimes we can read over this and see if we're not fully grasp it. So if we see Paul felt that God was pleading with him to tell people about this, and he's saying that we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled with God. So God is pleading with us to talk to those non-Christians so that they can be reconciled to God. And this is how we show love towards the non-Christian, that we want them to be obedient. We want them to be reconciled back to God because the sin has separated them from God. And when we do so, we share the gospel with them. We show the greatest love that has happened, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, died on our behalf, and was buried and rose again. And as we look at that, we teach them that, and the love that God had for us, the love that Christ had for us. We need to teach them about Jesus Christ. We need to show them in Scripture how to be reconciled back to God. And we need to have concern for their eternal soul. And we need to then encourage and encourage and encourage them to be obedient to God. This is how we show love to the erring, to the non-Christian. Then we look at the erring Christian. How do we show love for the erring Christian? Well, we need to, in the same way, we need to encourage them to return to God. We need to exhort and rebuke and discipline and bring them back to the fold. This may be a direct command for the shepherds of the flock, but we as members of the body of Christ, we can help them. We can help in this way. When we think about them, they were once obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were trying to live faithful, and then for some reason, sin got in their life, and they have separated themselves from the body of Christ. And we need to go to them and plead with them to get themselves reconciled back to God. The only way we can do that is through love and concern for their soul. That is why we must tell them that they're wrong and they're sinning. And that's why if we see a brother in sin, we need to go to them and talk to them and tell them, show them that we love them because we want them to be reconciled with God. We have to show them love. And then we may have to show them discipline because we love them, because we want them to get right with God. See, love has to be part of our life. Christ showed us the greatest example of love, and we should show love as we are trying to be like Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." Remember, we want to be the exact representation of Christ. And if we have that love that Christ had, then the world will see Christ in us by our love. Next, I want us to look at we want to see Christ. We want Christ to be seen in our holiness. when we think about this, this is how we live our lives. If you would, turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Well, in 1 Peter chapter 1, right towards the end, it talks about how the seed, there's a corruptible seed and there's an incorruptible seed. And the incorruptible seed is the word of God. And through this word of God, we can become Christians. And then we are to grow, and we see as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the world that we may grow. And that's the way we should be as Christians. And in verse 5, we're to keep on growing as Christians and growing and being living stones and building ourselves up, our spiritual body up. And we see that unto a holy priesthood, to offer up a spiritual sacrifice acceptable through God through Jesus Christ. As we look at this, we see that we are, it says in verse 9, it says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When we see Christ in us by our holiness, we need to live our lives according to God's word. And that is how we conduct our lives, and how we need to understand that we need to be holy, and that is a process as we grow to become Christ-like. Jesus taught this. We see in verse 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 that it says that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we look at this as we live our lives and we are being holy and living holy. We proclaim the praises to God. And Jesus said this another way in Matthew chapter 5. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. As we see this, we need to understand that holiness, living our lives holy, brings glory to God. In John chapter 17, verses 4 and 5, Jesus, as he's praying to God, he said, I have glorified you on earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, which the glory which I had before the world was. We see in Jesus' prayer, he brought glory to God in the way he lived. He finished the work that he was set out to do. And he asked to be glorified back to the way he was before he came to this earth. Jesus brought glory to God because he finished that work. He was obedient to God. If Christ is going to be seen in us, it is going to be seen through our obedience. Jesus had self-restraint and withstood temptations. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, we see that we need to be one who is self-restraining ourselves and withstanding temptations that are around us. In verse 11, it says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which wage war against your soul. When we look at this, there's things in this world, there's things that can overcome us, and we need to be careful with those things. They can affect our soul, and we need to be careful with these things that we look at that are fleshly things, that we may have our hearts on, our desires on, and we need to be careful with them. But we need to exercise self-restraint, just like Christ exercised self-restraint when he was tempted. And how he did that was through Scripture. And we too need to have the Scripture in our mind. So if Christ is going to be exemplified in our lives, then we must have self-restraint, and we must know the Scriptures in order for it to help us in our time of need. And in doing so, Christ will be seen in us. we also see that Jesus obeyed the law. In verse 13 through 20, it says, "Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praises of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience towards God, one endures grief and suffering and wrongdoing." When we look at this, we need to see, we need to live and obey the laws of the land. Obey them just like Jesus obeyed them. Now, I understand that we need to follow God first. And no matter what happens in our time we are living in, we need to follow God. And by doing so is by following the laws of the land. We follow God first, and then we follow the laws of the land. And if the laws of the land contradict God's law, we definitely follow God. But and as we do so, we are following God. And we see that Jesus obeyed the laws of the land, and we too must obey the laws of the land. And we look at 21, it says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should walk, you should follow his steps." When we look at Jesus, he was reviled. But he did not revile in return. He suffered and he did not threaten. He committed himself to judges who judges righteously. You see, we need to be Christ-like in our actions. Though people may have authority over us and we may be persecuted for being in the body of Christ, we need to exercise our self-restraint in not fighting against that physically, but fighting and trying to stay faithful to God to the best of our ability. And that should be our striving to follow Jesus Christ and his example that he left for us. Seeing how Christ conducted himself in all things should help us in our daily living. Christ will be seen in our holiness. And we think of this, and sometimes today Christians may say, "Well, I have to do this because I'm a Christian," or "I can't do this because I'm a Christian." Could you imagine Jesus saying, "I'm the Son of God, but that's why I can't do this," or "I can't do that because I'm the Son of God"? No, that's not what he would say. He would say, "I'm doing this because I love and I want people to see the perfect example." And Christians should make sure we have the right attitude, that we want to follow God. And yeah, there may be things that look appealing on the outside, but we should definitely follow in the steps of Jesus and strive and have the proper attitude in doing so. Remember that we want to be that exact representation of Christ. We want Christ to be seen in our holiness. Next, we want to look at Christ. We want Christ to be seen in our discernment. Christ had the ability to handle every situation perfectly. I know as a father, as a preacher, as a husband, I wish I could handle everything perfectly, every situation perfectly. And I think the elders would feel the same way. Each one of you probably would feel the same way, that we'd want to handle everything perfectly. Never make a wrong decision. Never do things that may cause hurt or pain to other people. But we need to see Christ in our discernment. And Christ handled everything perfectly. And this should be our goal to achieve in all aspects of our life, that we look to the master teacher and he knew what to say and when to say it. He was forceful. He was forceful when he needed to be forceful, and he was gentle when he needed to be gentle. Jesus' discernment is an example for us to follow and try to emulate to the best of our abilities. As we look at the love that Christ had, we look at the example that he set for us. He, as I mentioned before, he set the bar high. And we see as we become a Christian, we need to continue to grow throughout all of our lives. And that is growing spiritually based on the Word of God. We should strive and know it and more each and every day. And as we do so, we'll be growing. And as we meditate on the Word of God, we should be growing as a Christian. And each day, we should grow more than we did the previous day. And that those experiences that we go through and those things will help us in our life. They'll help us to make the proper decisions. We want to have wisdom. We need to look towards God's Word. When we look at Christ and how he handled every situation, discernment is the ability to decide between truth and error, right and wrong. And we need to be discerning those things. It is the process of making careful distinction in our thinking about truth. This is the ability to think spiritually, to think biblically. And this comes from serious study and meditation on God's Word. And as we look at seeing Christ in our discernment, we need to have Christ in us. And in Colossians 1, verse 27, it says, having Christ in us is the hope of glory. This is based on which every man is presented spiritually complete to God, spiritually mature. And when we look at that spiritual maturity, it starts from the day we put on Christ. And it should continue to grow till we take our last breath. We need to grow. As we sang the song this morning, None of Self and All of Thee, that is the process that we're talking about. We may just become a Christian and we're not going to make the same decisions. We're not going to say the same things as maybe we've been a Christian for 40 years if we have grown properly. So there's a growing process. In order to see Christ in our discernment, we have to continue to grow. And the way to become complete in Christ is to develop the spiritual qualities like his. And that comes from what Paul said in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy to God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you see that renewing of our mind is what we need to change. And it's a transformation process that when we first become a Christian, we're continually transforming our mind to help us in our life, to help change the way we think about things. And the way we change that is by looking at Scripture, by looking at the example that we have in the Gospels of Jesus' life and helping us have wisdom and discernment, because wisdom and discernment go hand in hand. We can look at the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs 10 and verse 14, a wise man stores up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish ruin is at hand. You see, we need to store up this knowledge, and then we need to take that knowledge when we go into daily life and experiences that we go through and use it to help us discern from right and wrong, to help us make good decisions in our life. The wisdom we gain through Scriptures can help us to make good decisions in our life. Scriptures will not only help us prepare for the next life, but it'll help us through this life. As we conclude this evening, can Christ be seen in you by the way you love? Can Christ be seen in you by your holiness? And can Christ be seen in you by your discernment? As we look at this, we want to look into that mirror and we want to see Christ. We want to see Christ in us. Let's make sure that we are striving for that, that we are striving to be like Christ each and every day of our lives. In order to do so, we must put on Christ. You must be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must believe in Jesus. You must confess that, repent of your sins, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're sitting here tonight and you have never done that, I beg you to get your life right with God. I beg you to follow the scriptures, to be reconciled back to God. Or maybe you're sitting here and you have sin in your life and you struggle and you know, we love you. We love you. We want you to be right with God. And if there's anything that we could do, please come forward as we stand and sing.